Thanks, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio now. AD Quigg, she's a reporter for the Daily Line from dailyline.net here in Chicago. Covers everything from the city to Cook County to the state of Illinois. AD, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You guys join us every Wednesday night here when we have shows. It's been a couple weeks. All right, so let's talk. There's a lot going on in Illinois politics. We have finally gotten to a point, which is amazing to me, that we are in the sweet spot. We are in the wheelhouse when it comes to this primary, which started maybe this time last year, but this is when it's supposed to be.
It's been a really, really long primary
season. Right?
And this is when voting starts in 2 weeks.
I guess that's my first question.
Yeah.
Is early voting going to start? I saw the headlines yesterday saying because of ballot challenges,
yes,
they're pushing that back.
Yeah, they push it a little bit. There are a ton of ballot challenges happening right now, which, you know, you can't decide who's on the ballot until most of these challenges are played out. There have been times when they've changed the ballot on the very last day before elections. But military voters overseas already have a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Early voting starts here on March 21st.
Well, how can they have a ballot if we don't know who's on it?
It's...
All right.
Yeah.
it's a rhetorical question, AD. Well, okay, so let's talk about... I mean, I am interested because I guess before we get into Pritzker and Ives and everything that's happening, when we talk about early voting, is this a alarming size of ballot challenges? What is making this year different? Does it have to do with David Orr? Like, what does it have to do with the fact that why are we waiting? Why is it pushing the early voting, the beginning of early voting back?
I have been following one race in particular. I think there are a lot more races going to the second round of challenges. So there's a first round, which is with the quantity of your signatures, and then the second round, a lot of people can go to challenges kind of the quality. Are they notarized right? Are they circulated correctly? So there are quite a few going to that round, including a lot of judicial races, which is interesting.
Okay, there you go. So this has become a political tactic, if you will, to take
on
challenges.
Time. Challenge, yes, exactly. challenge.
But now it actually has an effect on voters as early voting gets pushed back,
yeah,
because of all the challenges. All right, Edie, let's start with the news of the day. J.B. Pritzker, who's running for governor on the Democratic ticket in the primary coming up here in March, he's obviously, we've seen him for the last couple of weeks in these Blagojevich tape ads that Governor Rauner's been running against him. But it also came out that he said some disparaging things about African-American candidates to replace Obama when he was talking to Blagojevich. He
right.
has this essentially calling out their race, talking about race in a somewhat insensitive manner. I wouldn't go as far to say it was racist or anything. When you look at it, he's not using any foul language. But the thing, it made everybody unsettled, especially the African-American community.
Yeah, it was, to a lot of people, it sounded like horse trading, and that they were very bluntly discussing racial politics, which have always been an aspect in Illinois and Chicago politics. But to hear two white guys kind of talk about what black candidate would be good for this
right.
position and their personality qualities that would make them good or bad, describing Jesse White as kind of a safe pick, Emil Jones as crass. A lot of people were kind of uncomfortable with how blunt the language was and who was having the discussions. Two powerful white guys.
Yeah.
It was described as horse trading.
And today, J.B. Pritzker goes in front of to apologize.
Yeah.
And he's flanked on one side with Jesse White. He's got other African-American leaders there. And when you ask Jesse White, he says, oh, I didn't take offense to any of it. But his apology was about being insensitive, essentially.
Yeah. He said, I was not at my best in that call. And that's essentially what the African-American politicians who are still backing him said. You know, we all have bad days, and I don't think any of us would like to be wiretapped having a sensitive political discussion, but we still stand by him. We think he's a good guy. We know what's in his heart, and he's done good things for our community.
And
so
you've been,
we're going to keep backing
and you've
him.
You've been following leaders in the African American
right.
community today. What did I have to say?
So, standing beside him at this apology session, Secretary of State Jesse White, very powerful political figure in Illinois politics. He's been around for decades.
And I just read the Cabrini-Green, a total side. The Cabrini-Green book by Ben Austin, High Risers, which he was on here. Jesse White plays a huge role,
really?
Role in being a father figure to a lot of kids in Cabrini-Green in the 70s and 80s. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
I digress.
Jesse White, Tumblr,
yeah.
He's still doing it. So Jesse White stood by him, Alderman Walter Burnett, Alderman Pat Dowell, Alderman Carrie Austin, Alderman Michelle Harris. Austin, Harris, and Burnett all have very strong ward organizations, so it's important that they stood by him because they can, you know, mobilize people on the street to mm-hmm. get out the vote. City Treasurer Kurt Summers, Alderman Rod Sawyer, Alderman Michael Scott Jr. all stood beside him and said, you know, this was disheartening to hear. This wasn't a fun conversation, but we still support JB and think he has the best chance of defeating Rauner.
I mean, you just named pretty much all the African-American leaders.
Tony Preckwinkle. Eight out of the 12 yeah, I was gonna say. The Aldermanic Black Caucus.
So the others, is anyone coming out against, or are they just being silent?
He has not had any major defections.
Really?
Yes.
I know Rod Sawyer had something to say where he's disheartened, but he didn't pull his...
No. Intro-
yeah. I mean, maybe it's just the media is the one that's really going after apologies and trying to get him to... And, of course, his opponents on the Republican side, especially. But
yeah, and on the Democratic side are saying this makes him unelectable, but so far no major defections. And
the big one today, which is a head-scratcher, the endorsement of Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, which is not the head-scratcher part. The Republicans, quickly after the press release came out today, went and said, wait a second. She already endorsed him. She yeah. came out in October. Here's video. Here's pictures. Here's the transcripts. You are recycling her endorsement to essentially deal with the controversy with the black vote that you have right now.
Yeah. So Pritzker's campaign has said, you know, we didn't have a formal endorsement. Here it is. And when President Preckwinkle was asked about it today, she usually has a press conference after the Cook County Board. She's a very stone-faced person in press conferences, and she was like, I have supported JB. The formal endorsement came out today. I think we need a Democratic governor, and I think JB...
So she backed it. She said this is the formal endorsement.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to answer this, but I kind of... I am thrown aback by that. I'm thrown aback as the fact that it just seems to be coincidental timing. I mean, I know that she came out before, but now she came out for real. I don't know. I don't know the cynic in me, AD.
You've been living in Chicago for a while.
All right. So obviously, you know, he was able to damage control J.B. Pritzker on this for the leaders of the African-American community. But is there any thought about the fallout to the actual African-American vote when it comes to the Democratic primary?
It depends on how much people pay attention and how much Pritzker's challengers play this up. As the primary goes along, and let's say JB does win the primary, how much Governor Rauner plays this up during the general?
Mm. Yeah, we're going to see a bunch of commercials around it, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen Governor Rauner make that huge ad buy where he played a huge section of the tape, and, you know, he's got money to throw around, so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Jeanne Ives on the other side. Jeanne Ives, what a tremendous week last week. Started the week in front of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Essentially, all critics saying that they're all analysts saying that she won a debate with Governor Rauner. Ended the week in controversy, not just locally but nationally, about an ad that was deemed insensitive or offensive to trans people, to not just one group, many groups.
Yeah.
She doubled down at the City Club this week, saying, "I don't think the ad was offensive. I stand by it. What's offensive?" And she's made the rounds in media talking about defending, not apologizing, doing the non-apology thing, and saying there's nothing wrong with this ad. Is this going to hurt her? I mean, is this something that is expected? I mean, is it good for her that people are talking about her ad, or is it bad?
I think the way she put it at City Club was, I don't see how it's offensive, and truth be told, I have to win, you know, 400,000 plus one voters in this primary season, and I don't have the money Bruce Rauner does. And the message in that ad is what I believe, that Governor Rauner has... betrayed conservative voters by backing these initiatives that she said were in this ad and portrayed by people that a lot of people thought was xenophobic, homophobic, racist. But she says, I think I stand behind the message of the ad. And I think she thinks that will appeal to a lot of voters.
And maybe it does in the Republican primary. But to win a general in the state of Illinois, you have to attract a moderate base.
Right.
This is poison to a moderate base. This is not necessarily the kind of harsh messaging you want to put out on television on a full weekend blitz.
Right. And she came out with a follow-up ad that says, now that I've got your attention, here's more about me. So, you know, she's playing up her background and her kind of conservative bona fides.
And what's next for her? I mean, she obviously continues to get more and more money.
Yes, she got a big $2 million influx from Dick Uihlein,
who used to be a Rauner supporter.
Yes.
So what does that mean? Is it more ads? Is that what money at this point means?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing that scared a lot of other Republican challengers off from primarying Bruce Rauner was that he has an incredible amount of money to throw around. And she has a little bit more to play with. I'm not sure how she's going to deploy it. I think TV is very popular, but TV is very expensive. But I think with this money, we're going to see a little bit more TV ads and a lot more attention on this first one.
A.D. Quigg, reporter at the Daily Line, joining us here on Wednesdays. The Daily Line joins us all the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the assessor's race. That's the one that you've been covering closely, and it's getting heated over there as some information is going to come out, a study that has been done by the Cook County, but will be released by the Cook County Board President, Tony Breckwinkle, coming up in a couple weeks. A.D. Quigg, my guest. Stay with us. It's Download Here, 720 WGN. A.D. Quigg in studio. She is the reporter at the Daily Line, which she joins us every Wednesday to talk Illinois state politics, city politics, county politics. County politics is where we'll land to end the segment tonight.
That's where it's at.
The assessor's race between the incumbent Joe Berrios and two candidates, Fritz Kagi and
Andrea Rayla.
Andrea Rayla is happening here. And it's all under this cloud that the Tribune has done a couple of investigative pieces about how the property tax system under Assessor Berrios is rigged. And in doing so, it has caused a lot of kerfuffle on both sides of the aisle. We've seen it in the State of the State. It got mentioned, and it's mentioned by both parties that are running for governor. Where are we with this story? Because there's going to be a big assessment of the assessor's office coming up here in a couple
assessing
weeks.
Assessing the assessor. So after the Tribune story came out, which was this summer, President Preckwinkle announced that she asked the Civic Consulting Alliance, which is a pro bono group that does, you know, analyses of all kinds of things, was going to study the assessment system and say, here's how you're going to fix it. We have been waiting for that for 7 months, and President Preckwinkle, Tribune wrote a follow-up story saying they're slow walking this thing.
There was some concern they were trying to slow walk it till after the primary.
Right. President Preckwinkle said, no, it will come out before the primary. It will come out next week. So there's an independent analyst from Virginia who has been doing this big study for months and months, and he's going to come out with
recommendations. Is that bad for Berrios, or it could be good for Berrios?
It could be good, because they can say, you know, for the next month before the primary, we're actively working on a solution, and we're going to make the system fair for everybody.
The race, which makes it interesting, is that there's been a lot of turmoil because of the investigation and because of what's happening with mostly downtown properties and taxes, that you would think that the assessor would be in somewhat hot water, but all of the names from Speaker Madigan to Democrat names to Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle to Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, sort of. I mean, hasn't really come out.
Yeah, he said
but
we need to look at it.
Yeah, but they're all. I mean, everyone is backing Joe Berrios. He's the Cook County. He's a Cook County Democratic chair, right? I mean, so it feels like they're not going to go against him. It's not unlike what you see in other situations where they recognize that's the candidate that they're all in line with. So they're, even if there's controversy around, they're not going to support him.
Right, but you also have this remaining kind of progressive surge left over from Bernie's campaign in 2016, where they're like, we need to get rid of these old school Democrats who have had control of the system for decades and decades. Fritz Kagi and Andrea Rayla have both run on an anti-Berrios platform, but they're both kind of stuck battling each other in the suggestions process. Campaign.
Do they split the vote in the regard of progressive vote that might be going after a Joe Berrios because there's two of them?
Possibly. I think Andrea Rayla thinks that she will win. She has a good chance because she's a female candidate in the year of a woman. But both have, you know, similar messages about we have a corrupt pay-to-play system and Joe Berrios needs to go. So I'm not sure how much they differentiate from each other after this ballot objection process is done. That kind of remains to be seen. But yeah, they first have to get through this objection process.
Okay, so they're on that. And we will see next week a study that comes out that's taken a look at, an independent study that's looking at the property tax system here in Chicago. We'll be on it. We'll pay attention to it. A.D. Quigg will be back. She's a reporter for the Daily Line. She joins us on Wednesdays. A.D., great to see you.
Thank you.